and enjoy what God has given to us. But I'm thankful that church is more than that. Church is a place of warm hearts and the joy that God gives to us to be able to come out and visit with our brothers and sisters and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit down deep in our souls. In the book of Matthew is where we'll be reading from in the 16th chapter, if you'd like to follow along with us this evening. I'm not going to preach on committing your works unto the Lord. That was this morning. But it is something that we need to do. We all need to do it. And at times we all need to be reminded of our commitments to God and that we need to follow up on our commitments. I've often said this, and then we'll read our scripture. If we worked on our jobs like we work for God, we've been fired a long time ago. Amen. But God is gracious, merciful, and kind to us. And he overlooks a lot of our ways. But there's going to come a payday for all that is said and done. In the book of Matthew, 16th chapter, go down with me, if you would, starting at verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And stop reading there with that 16th verse. And for many years we've preached from this, and tonight God has led us in a different direction. But the text is, who do you say he is? It's a personal call. It's something that we individually have to say who this Christ is to us. Was he, as they accused him of, was he just a deceiver, a blasphemer? Or was he really the Son, the only begotten Son of God? And many of us, no doubt, through the years, before we came to know the Lord, we could have taken the position that he deceived a lot of people. There was a lot of people that believed that he was the Messiah, and yet he came and he was crucified without building a kingdom. But then we have to remember the night that he spoke to us in such a way that we knew that he was not a deceiver. But this is the real Son of God that is speaking to my heart and my life. Through the years, I've testified that when the Lord spoke to me, I did not have to get up from the back of the house and go and find mom and dad and say, "Who is this speaking to my heart?" When he spoke to me, he made a formal introduction through and by the Spirit that I knew it was God. And I later understand the scripture when they said, "Never man spake like this man." He spoke with authority, but yet he spoke with love and compassion. And he promised to us that if we would receive him, that this whole book would be ours. And this book is full of promises to you and I. And many of us are living below our privilege because we don't receive all that he has for us today. He asked them and said, "Who do men say that I am?" He knew the answer. He wanted to find out what they had to say. You remember, they had gone out and come back unto him, and he wanted to know, who does the world say that I am? Who does the world say that I am? And they answered and said that, you know, some think you're John the Baptist, some Elias or Isaiah. Another thought he was Jeremiah or one of the prophets that had been reincarnated. But he wanted to find out after they told him that that's who the world says you are. But then he said, but who do you say that I am? Was he just another good martyr? Was he just another good prophet that was going about performing miracles in city after city and life after life? Or was he the deceiver that the world said that he was? He wanted to know from them. And these are men that walked with him and talked with him. They saw the miracles performed. And even the law said, I know that you are a prophet sent from God, because no man could do these miracles except God be with him. But he was more than just a prophet. He was and is the only begotten Son of God that came to pay your sin debt and my sin debt. He did not owe it, but he paid it in our stead. Who do we say that he is? He is more than just the Son of God. He is everything that we stand in need of for our whole life, from cradle to grave. All along the journey, I've never met anybody like Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Never met anybody that said that he loved like Jesus loved. Even while we were sinners, he loved us. Lloyd talks about what it's like to know the Lord and how good it is. Could you imagine when we leave this world, we get to go to a heaven where God will be there and the Son will be there, and we'll get to worship him, bow down before the throne of God for all eternity and worship him like we've never worshiped him on this side of the river. Sometimes I like to see God's people just break out in worship. Hold back nothing and say, it is God that's in the house. You ask me how I know it's God, because I can feel him down deep in my soul and know that we're not able to conjure this kind of feeling up. It's bound to be the Lord that's moving in our hearts and our souls today. When we hear what they had to say, and Jesus bragged on them, and he said unto Peter, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He revealed it through the Spirit of God. The Father came and introduced the Son unto this world. And you remember when he was being baptized, the heavens opened up and a dove descended, and the voice that was there said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The angel introduced him. And today people say, I don't know if he was real or not. He is real. He not was real. He is real. And he's alive. And they say, well, they crucified him. Yeah, but that was just part of the story. On the third and appointed day, he got up from the grave, and he reigns and lives and makes intercession for you and I, because he is the only begotten Son of God. The only one that has ever had the power to lay down his life and then raise it back up. You say, well, I thought the angels raised him up. No. The angels rolled the stone away from the door so we could look in and see he's not there anymore. But he lives, and he lives forevermore. Who do you say that he is? I'm like David in Psalm 61 and 2. He is that rock that is higher than I am. He is that rock that I go to. He's the rock, as Paul said, that there is no other foundation needed. He's the rock that I have built my life on. Anybody else built on the rock? You know what the scripture says? When you build on the rock, when the storms of life come and the wind blows and the rain beats against your house vehemently, is what the scripture says, it won't be like the house that's built on the sand. That house will be destroyed. Can I preach tonight? The devil has tried to destroy my house. He has beat upon. Anybody else had storms in your life? The storms come and the devil tries his best to knock us off with a rock. But praise God, I did not put myself on the rock. God put me on the rock. And because he put me on the rock, the devil cannot take me off of it. Amen? He is my rock. He's my rock. David said he's my buckler. You know what that means? He's what holds me together. He's what holds me together. Sometimes people, we look at people's lives, and Sister June, we say, I don't know how they're making it. I don't know how they're going through all that they are. And the reason why we are and still able to stand up straight and stand up strong is because we are held together by something that is greater than we are. I have a God today that is greater than all of this world. He is greater than the devil. He is greater than all the demons in hell. He is greater than all the forces of the enemy that comes against us. I serve a living God that is alive and well, and he's just as powerful today as he was in the beginning of time. He is to me my hiding place, as Isaiah 28 said. He is the place when the world gets too much for me. He's the place when the devil gets too much for me. I go to my hiding place. People say, that means you're a coward. No, Brother Ray, that means I have a bigger brother. That is stronger than I am. And when I run to him, how many of y'all got older siblings in your family? How many of y'all remember when trouble come, they was there to protect you and to help you? I was the oldest, and I didn't have anybody that I could run to. But praise God, when I got Jesus in my heart, I've got somebody that I can go to and say, Lord, sometimes it's because we have fear in our life. Sometimes it's because we have doubt. Sometimes it's because the enemy puts so much on us that we feel like that we just can't take another step. But then I go to my hiding place. And when I get to feeling better, I'm able to come back and face the realities of this world. He is also, as Matthew 11 said, he is my friend. How many of you got a good friend? In this world, the only friends I really have is what is before my eyes right now. And even some of them, you got to watch out for. Amen. How many of you have ever had somebody that you thought was a friend to turn on you? Friends are precious. But you see, sometimes people consider you their friend as long as you got something to offer. And when they've exhausted all that you had to offer, they're no longer your friend. But what a friend we have in Jesus Christ. He said he would stick closer than a brother or a sister. He'll go with us places that mom and dad could not go. I've got a friend that no matter how many times I've let him down, he still says, that's my friend. I not only consider him my friend, but he considers me his friend. Go back and read in 2 Chronicles where David, the Lord bragged on him and said he was his friend. I'd like for God to look at me and look at you and say, that's my friend today. And he's proud of us. He's honored to be called our friend. He is my friend. In fact, he's my dearest friend. I talk to him when I can't talk to nobody else. I tell him things, and yet he already knows them about me. You know, he's a friend that sticketh closer than anybody else in this world. And I call him my Savior. That's what Luke 1 and 47 said. You remember when Mary came to Elizabeth there, and she told him about this child that she had in her womb. That the angel told her that she was going to conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. You know the story. We just celebrated Christmas. We just celebrated it. And I say Christmas, I did not say a holiday. I heard a preacher this morning, and he said that he hoped everybody enjoyed their holidays. I said, brother, you're wrong. To myself, anybody else talk to yourself in the car? I said, brother, you're wrong. It's not a holiday. It's Christmas. It's the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's not lessen it by calling it a holiday. He is my Savior. He is my Savior. He's the one that when I cried out from the midst of the pit of sin, He heard my cry. And He come and He rescued me. I did not climb out by myself. It was His hand that reached way down below the bottom. And He pulled me out. And the Bible says that He not just pulled me out, but He set my feet on that solid rock and He established my goings. People say, how do you keep doing it? Why do you keep doing it? I keep doing it because I owe it all to Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Job said it like this. If you ask Job, what is he to you? Job would say, he's my Redeemer. And that song comes to my heart. I know my Redeemer liveth. You see, when Job's friends and even his wife, when his wife told him to curse God and die, he said, you talk like a foolish woman. My Redeemer. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the Lord. He's my Redeemer. Though I may lose all that I have in this life, my Redeemer still liveth. And I still have more than what you could see. How many of you got treasures that the world cannot see? And the greatest of those is I've got salvation down on the inside to where that it's locked up. You know, there are many of these banks you hear, even today you still hear of banks getting robbed. People put their stuff in there and the bank gets robbed and takes it. It's not like it used to be with Bonnie and Clyde and all them when they was running around because they have the federal insurance to protect it. But back then, if the bank robbed it, was robbed, everything they had was gone. Folks, I've got something that the banks can't keep. They're safe, can't hold what I've got in my soul. And when God gave it to me, you know what He did, church? He put a hedge around about it. He's locked it up and secured it so that I couldn't lose it tonight. If I could, I would have already lost it. But how many of you know what God says He is able to keep until He takes us out of this life and on home to be with Him? Paul said in the book of Hebrews, He is my Father. I am His child. I'm proud of my natural father. He worked hard. All the years that I can remember, He worked hard. He provided for us. Even when He was sick, He still got out and worked. You know, they don't make men like that much anymore. Can I get an amen in the house? The Bible says that the man is to provide for his family. And those that won't work is worse than an infidel has already denied the faith. And I'm looking at some men tonight that work hard and have worked hard for their families. And I know that your kids are proud of you. We're proud of you. But yet we have a Father that is even greater than all of us put together. Because, you see, when we look at what God is to us as our Father, He is more than the natural Father. Natural Father can only give you so much and do so much for you. A Heavenly Father, there's no limit to what God can do for you and I. Especially when we walk in His statutes, we keep His word, and we commit our works unto Him. He can do so much for us. Is he your father tonight? Yes, he will. You say, these men said, Christ said, who do men say that I am? And you know, they thought he was, Isaiah had been dead, Jeremiah had been dead. They thought that this was one of the old time patriarch prophets that had been reincarnated. Can I preach tonight? I hope y'all don't believe in reincarnation. God doesn't recycle spirits or souls. This soul is mine. Your soul is yours. God doesn't take one that's died and clean it up and then give it to somebody else. When he spoke breathed into Adam's nostrils, he made him a living soul. And when he made Eve, he made her a living soul. Every one of us is unique, yet we're the same. We have a soul that is different than everybody else's, but it's the same in that God speaks to every one of us in the same way. That's why, can I use this tonight? Lloyd says, Tara, sing a song. Tara says, Lord ain't gave me a song. Lloyd gave me a song. See, when God speaks, we know, don't we? We don't have to have somebody else. We know when it's God. Who do I say that he is? He is the lily of my valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. In fact, he is my all and all. And without him, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I'm a sinner headed to hell for eternity. But praise God, I got an introduction to this man that they said he's John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he lost his life. Some said he was Isaiah. Isaiah had been dead. Or maybe Jeremiah was dead. Or maybe one of the other prophets. They're all dead. But this man that's before us, he's alive, and he's well, and he's performing miracles everywhere he goes. Who is he? He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's all that I'll ever need. All that I'll ever need. I'll close with this while Robbie gets us a song. He looked beyond my faults, and he saw my need. How could I not honor him and thank him for all that he has done? Who do you say that he is? Is he just a prophet? Is he just a good man? Is he just one that was martyred for his beliefs and his convictions? Or was he and is he the true Son of God? You know, Jesus warned us. He said, if men come to you and say that I'm over here or I've come over there, he said, believe them not. Believe them not. You say, how do we know when it's him? We don't need a man to say, I am sent from God. You know, there's a lot of them today that say that they are sent from God, that they are Jesus in the flesh. If they was Jesus, this book is a lie, because he came once and he said, the next time I come, the radio is not going to announce it. TV is not going to announce it, but you'll know it's me. How will we know? Because he'll come in the clouds of glory. He's not coming to preach another message. He's not coming to have a great revival. He's not coming to convict the world of their sin. There's already enough of that in this book. You say, then what is he coming for? He's coming to get his bride and all of her children. Hallelujah. I get to go not because I deserve, but I get to go because I'm one of the children that was born into the grand old church. And when he comes, the end of the church age will close. As they sang that song, the old ship of Zion, just like the ark, when Noah and his children and his wife got on board, Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. One day, God is going to shut the door on the church, and there'll be no more children born. And you say, Roger, why do you keep saying that? Let me put this in, then we'll close. You cannot have children without a woman. Amen? They had this thing on the news a while back, a few weeks, maybe a couple months ago, that said it was a miracle that a man was delivering a child. Come to find out, it was a woman that identified as a man. Isn't that sinful? That's the world we live in. But you see, when Christ comes, the church is going to take a flight. And once the church is gone, no children can be born. It takes a mother and it takes a father. Tonight, who do you say he is? Do you say he was just a good man? Just a good prophet? Or are you like many of us tonight? I believe with my whole heart, while we stand and sing a verse of a song, I believe that he was the Son of the living God, sent to save you and I from a devil's hell. Do you believe on him tonight? Have you called upon him as your Lord and Savior? Or have you just sat back and said, I'll take my chances that he was not the one to come, and the one to come is yet to be? Let me preach to you tonight. There's no other Messiah besides Jesus Christ. Follow your heart tonight. Who do you say he is? In your heart, who is he? Don't try to figure it out with your head, but from your heart, who do you say that he is? I say he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he would save the whole world if they would believe upon him. All these others that have come and said that I am sent from God, they died and went back to the grave. He's the only one that got up and went back to the Father. You say, was you there? No, but I read it in the book. And not just reading it, how many of you believed because you felt the presence of God move in your heart and reveal it to us that he's alive? He's not dead. He's alive. In fact, I'll just bag on him. I've talked to him today several times. He's alive and well. You say, did you hear him speak back? Not here, but here I did. Amen. Who do you say that he is? Every one of us individually has to make that announcement for ourselves. If I could, I'd make it for the whole world. Many years ago, I preached in a message that if I could, I'd walk down the aisle in place of everyone I knew that was lost and undone. But you see, I cannot walk down the aisle in your place or anybody else's place, only for myself. I know that there are those that say that you can pray and God will forgive those in your family. And there are those that even preach that God will save them if you pray for them. I preach, let's pray for them and let God do the saving. Amen. I can't come in your place, but I can come for myself and not another. Who do you say that he is? Do you know who he is? In your heart and your life. If you don't. One more verse, Rob. I ask you. Once you've had that introduction, you cannot deny that he is the Lord. Not just a prophet. Not just a good man. But this man was different than all the other men to ever walk upon this earth. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God walking amongst us to make us part of his family. How is it with you tonight? Who do you say he is? Who do you really say that he is? Jesus can help me. And Jesus alone. Amen. But you know, in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Tonight I pray that if you don't know who he is, that you'll examine your own heart and profess him to be the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And ask him to come in and save your dying soul and make you part of his great big family. In fact, church, we'd love to have another brother or sister, wouldn't we? Amen. Amen. You know, I tell our kids, and this is just as on the natural realm, I tell them, Sister Lisa, don't have any more kids. We got enough grandkids. Amen. Anybody else want to say amen to that? We got enough. Thank you, June. But when it comes to God's family, folks, I'd love to have another brother or sister. Because we can help each other. We can be here for each other. And we can rejoice together in our Lord and Savior. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord today? I thank him. Y'all was a little bit more participative tonight than you was this morning. But you know, sometimes when we can't say amen, I had to go back to what my buddy down in Texas says. He said this for many years. He says, if you can't say amen, we just have to say, oh me. Right? Sometimes the word gets too close and we just have to say, Lord, help us. I hope and pray that you have a great week, that you enjoy each and every day, because this could be our last day. Could be our last meeting like this. We don't know. But one thing we do know, God is still on the throne. He's still in control. And he has a plan for every one of us. So let's go with his plan and not our own. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.